We're going to take a little break from following the lectionary, and I want to start a series and concentrate on Jesus as friend. And I don't know how long it'll take, but boy, there's a lot of scriptures. There's a lot of things that we can learn from Jesus being our best friend. So think about this. How many friends do you have? I don't know about me. They say if you can count on your one hand that many people that you have that you call friends, you're really blessed. Well, the other question is, who are they? And if you're just a typical person like me, I think our friends range from casual experiences until those who would die for you. And that's what I want to talk about, our friend Jesus who died for you. Wow, it's an interesting thing, but I think in these days and times, we need a friend that we can count on. And Jesus certainly is that friend, because when you invite him into your life, you don't get him in pieces. You're getting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So what a wonderful thing. So I hope and pray that you'll be blessed by looking at Jesus as friend, and how my friend Jesus can also be your friend. Now, if you are already a friend of Jesus and he's a friend of yours, this just might be some affirmations to think about. If not, I think by the end of this series, you'll be able to say, yeah, Jesus is my best friend. Because that's been my life's goal ever since I accepted Christ into my life back in 1986. Now, there was a time from 1986 until 1994 when I answered my call to go into the ministry. What a wonderful journey that was as he prepared me. And studying theology in a formal setting, going to Emory, going to Florida Southern, many other continuing education courses around. And if you've been around the church for a long time, you probably know that some of that stuff, theology, gets a little stuffy. And even with what we believe and what we teach and preach, and sometimes our vocabulary, our traditions, our creeds, our confessions, our worship styles, we almost lose the fundamental simplicity of a faith that really isn't that complicated. Now, theology is important. Theology simply means our thoughts about God. And its sound doctrine is very vital. And we as United Methodists have a sound doctrine. But sometimes we need to remember that our faith is centered in the person and fashioned as a friendship. Ha! Our friend named Jesus of Nazareth. Now, why do we say Jesus of Nazareth? Well, back in the early part of the century, there was other people in the area that was named Jesus. But Jesus, our friend, came from Nazareth. That's why we want to make sure that who we're talking about is Jesus of Nazareth. God manifested in the flesh and dwelt among us. And our relationship with him is what defines our prospects for eternity. Wow! I hope and pray you all want to spend eternity with Jesus. I know I do. And as we accept Jesus in our life as Lord, and he enters into our life, it does. It changes everything about who we are. And a friendship with him begins with a simple prayer, inviting Jesus into your life, because he'll never force himself upon you. He always has to be invited, and when he's invited, he comes in. Now, you can have that little prayer any way that you like. It's a simple prayer. Jesus, I'm a Savior. You're the Savior, and I need you. I need you. But anyhow, we all have our different things. But I want to give you a sample, a prayer similar to what I said many years ago. And you can use it, or you can just have your own version, because it is a personal relationship with Christ. Here it is. Almighty God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is your Son, and he died on the cross for my sins. I believe you raised him to life again for my justification. Forgive me of my sins. I forgive everyone who has sinned against me. Jesus, be Lord of my life, and I want to serve you as Lord and King. And I thank you that now I belong to the family of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, choosing to pray that prayer or any other sincere prayer in your heart, I think it's the most significant thing you'll ever do in your life. It's that one decision that transfers you from darkness and despair of Satan's kingdom into hope and peace and the light of God's kingdom. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he paved the way for us to enjoy eternal life with God. But we don't have to wait for heaven to begin that journey and enjoy the benefits. No, every moment of every day we can walk through life with Jesus by our side. In him we find a friendship that is beyond any other that you will ever know. So I think it's very helpful to think about developing a friendship with Jesus, because I understand what it means. Any other friend that you might have, you have to develop that relationship. And if it's a spouse, you have to develop that relationship. So a friendship with Jesus is exactly the same way. Now, there are people whose friendships I greatly value, and when I come to very close to him, there are other people with whom I'm friendly with, but the relationship is usually just more ordinary or even detached. So what I want to do in this little series is to encourage you to have more than a casual friendship with Jesus and let him become your best friend. In Gospel of Matthew, Jesus called in Matthew 11:19, he said, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's what they said about him. So in teaching his followers, Jesus said, I want to tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they can do no more. Luke 12:4. And then he said, greater love has no one than this, is to lie down one's life for one's friends. John 15:13. So, as you follow this process and think about what we're going to talk about, I don't think that it means that he's going to be your great pal or Bubba or sidekick or a buddy, you know. It means the majestic holiness of Almighty God of the universe is willing to let you be his friend. And when it comes to reverence, respect, and obedience and service, I think from that comes courage, boldness, fulfillment, and more importantly, eternal life. The Apostle John was a young man, probably a teenager, when he heard a commanding voice to say to him, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. So, turning, he saw 30-something Jewish rabbi. He was about 30 years old with rough hands of a carpenter. Wow, the brash, idealistic young fisherman had no idea what was in store for him or any of the other disciples. It seems that John and Jesus had a very most loving and close relationship. John even called himself, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved, John chapter 13, verse 23. So I think we can imagine how John felt when after 3 unbelievable years he watched Jesus ascend from the Mount of Olives and disappear into the clouds of heaven. It had to be very hard for your best friend to move away like that. Now decades have passed, and the teenager that we saw in the Gospels becomes the last surviving member of the apostolic band, known as the disciples. He was aged, and the Roman government, fearing his remaining influence, because he was the last one that was still alive, they exiled him to an island off the coast of Turkey in the Aegean Sea called Patmos. Then meanwhile, in heaven, the time had come for Jesus to give his final instructions for the church. Now, we know it as the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and it's full of helpful prophecies related to his return. We are hanging on to that promise of his return at any moment. But the question was posed in high places. Okay, who could we give this message to? and who would be faithful to deliver it? I don't know. You know, I like to use my imagination, and I like to put myself into the scriptures and different things. So I'm thinking maybe Jesus said, I know my friend John. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 17, it tells the story. John, still in exile. Scripture says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he heard a voice behind him. And John, and to his other astonishment, he saw his friend Jesus. But Jesus, he saw, was not like a man that he knew from Galilee. You know, with the hard carpenter hands and the different things. No. The one with the pillow for his head. No. As John saw him then, Jesus was glorious and majestic and bright as the sun, enthroned on high and surrounded by brilliant symbols. Wow. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, John. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I'm alive forever and ever. Now, I would submit to you that John saw his friend. Not his buddy, but his friend. Now, I was blessed many years ago as we traveled with a tour group known as Educational Opportunities, and we did the journey of Paul, and we went through the Aegean Sea, and one of our ports of call was the Isle of Patmos. And I was with a lot of lay people and a lot of clergy people, and I was asked to give the devotion outside the cave where John received the revelation. And there is such a place. I was there. I saw the crack inside the cave. Everything that the book of Revelation talks about, I witnessed, and I was blessed and honored to share a devotion outside that cave. But now, in the days leading to the events, I think, described in the book of Revelation, and we'll look at these, and the spirit of Antichrist has infiltrated our world, and it does. It's just, we are in a world of good and evil. It's not about left or right. It's about good and evil. And the spirit of Antichrist has certainly filtered into our world. But Jesus still says to us, you and me, friend to friend. What's he always say? Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I'm alive for now and forevermore. Always when Jesus is approached, or you approach Jesus as the disciples, modern day or whatever, he would always say, do not be afraid. Well, if you can be in the presence of a friend that's telling you, hey, you don't need to be afraid. More than anything else, you need to aspire, because Jesus wants to be your friend. Now, I want to plant some thoughts. I'm a seed planter, as I like to call myself. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I never could, never wanted to be, because that's not what brought me to the Lord, was the hellfire and brimstone. No, it was the sweet, sweet spirit of Jesus and his love. So I always thought, as a pastor, I don't want to browbeat anybody. All I want to do is plant a seed of grace into somebody's thoughts in your life. Because then the rest of it's up to you. So, my question is this. How can you be a better friend to the one who is perfect? A friend to you. A perfect friend. God who created you in his image. Wow. Now, I want my friend, Jesus, to be your friend. That's what it's all about. That's why we come to church, to encourage one another in the faith that we have in Christ, faith in God that did something for us that we could not do for ourselves, was breaking that bondage over sin and death. Now, I don't want you to become more religious. That's not what it's about. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship, a love relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I don't even want you to be more churched. I love people coming to church. I love sharing and laughing and sharing the joy. But sometimes we got to look at the hard things in life. And I don't want to put anything into more of a pretense. And I'm not looking to add rules. That's not what it's about. But when you see him, Jesus, one day, I promise you will want him to look at you with the awareness of friendship. Ha! Welcome. Come on in with his open arms as he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, opening the door to a relationship with God that is personal. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, I think in the midst of troubles and strains and pressures of life, I don't think there's anything quite like a trustworthy voice or a trusted faith. To see what I mean, all you have to do is accept Christ into your life, and he will become your best friend. You know, it's such a joy. What a wonderful thing to have a friend like Jesus in high places. Amen? Well, I hope and pray that as we continue on with this, as we look at Jesus as friend, because it's just, I don't know, it's a relationship. That's what you're after. Not religion, a relationship. Relationship with the one who created us. And for me in my house, I want to serve the Lord and I want to celebrate life and how we can have it more abundantly. That's one of the promises of our friend Jesus. Well, I hope and pray that you continue to tune in and come to church as we can fellowship with one another and enjoy the friendship of others, but more importantly, the one who is our best friend, Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the host, the wonderful God, everlasting brother. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.